Chapter 10. Sunday was just wondering what the time was in Africa, or to be precise, at the household, when her brother placed a Ching request. A coincidence like that should have left her reeling, but she'd long since learned to take such things in her stride. She went to a leafy corner of the departure lounge, while Jitendra wandered over to poke at one of the maintenance bots, which was locked in some kind of pathological behaviour loop. "Just thinking of calling you," she told her brother as his figment popped into reality. After the usual 2 and a bit seconds of time lag, he answered, "Good. I'm very glad to hear it." She studied his reaction. "You don't sound overjoyed, Geoffrey. Have I done something wrong?"
"I'm not sure where to begin. You're on your way to Mars without telling me, despite everything we talked about, and all of a sudden I've got my grandmother inside my head."
"You two have already made your acquaintance, then?"
"That's one way of putting it."
"Look, I should probably have warned you, but, well, what are surprises if you can't spring them on people now and again? Besides, I thought it would be useful for the construct. She needs to see a bit more of the world, and I'm obviously not going to be much help in that regard. So I took the liberty."
"You certainly did."
"I thought you'd appreciate the gesture. She's a very useful resource."
"Good. Now you can tell me what you think you're doing. According to your tag, you're already at the departure station."
"We are. Jitendra and I are just about to board the Swift ship."
They'd come up by the surface-to-orbit liner, spent a couple of hours in the freefall and spun sections of the station, eaten a meal, drunk too much coffee, and passed the final medical tests prior to cryosleep.
"They'll put us under soon," she went on. "Lights out until Phobos."
"Where the hell did the money for this come from?"
"Plexus funds," Sunday answered. "June Wing's paying for Jitendra to go and do field work for the R&D division."
"I hear the Pans are paying your fare."
"Yeah. They want an artist in the loop, someone who can communicate their big ideas to the wider public. Because I know the zookeepers, I sort of got the job, or at least a tryout to see how it goes. There are Pans on Mars. They've got some startup venture going on there."
"And none of this comes with strings?"
"Oh, a few. But I don't have to buy into the ideology, I just have to wear it for a while."
"And how long are you going to be away?"
"Not less than 10 weeks, even if I get right back on the ship as soon as we reach Mars. Which obviously isn't the idea. It'll probably be more like 4 months, realistically. The return trip will take longer, too. I'm not going all that way just to spend a few days down there, and if the Pans are footing the bill..."
She halted.
"You're all right with this, aren't you?"
"Like I have any choice."
"It's only Mars. It's not like I'm going trans-Neptunian.
There's a difference between you being on the moon and whatever it is, 20 light minutes away."
"I have to do this, Geoffrey. I'm 35. Apart from a small coterie of admirers in the zone, I'm virtually unknown. In 2 years, I'll be older than Van Gogh was when he died. I can't live with that any longer. It's now or never. This opportunity's come up and I have to take it. You understand, don't you? If it was something about elephants and it meant that much to you..."
"I think I might have told you about it, just in passing."
It was a strange conversational dance they were engaged in. Geoffrey was rightly cross about her decision to go to Mars, but he was well aware of her real motivation, which had nothing to do with the Panspermian initiative. On the faint chance that their conversation was being intercepted, though, he had to pretend that the whole thing was a massive shock, in no way related to the events in Pythagoras. And his questions about funding were perfectly sincere. Her own finances couldn't possibly stretch to this. But they hadn't needed to. The right word to Charma and Gleb, and it hadn't been long before Truro put in another appearance. That took care of her ticket, even if it put her deeper into hock with the Pans. Jitendra similarly had ramped up his debt to June Wing.
"If I'd told you," she said, "we'd have ended up having exactly this conversation, only with the possibility of you talking me out of it."
"I'm not trying to be overprotective."
He paused.
"Well, maybe just a little, but Mars is a long way away. Stuff happens there.
I'm not traveling alone, and I won't be getting up to any mischief.
apart, she thought, from the kind of mischief she and her brother already knew about.
I know you meant well with the construct, Geoffrey said, but she got me into a world of trouble.
How so?
Managed to screw up one of my exchanges with Matilda. Spooked the whole clan, and now I'm going to have to go back and start rebuilding trust.
How?
Sunday started asking,
because she could not imagine how the construct could possibly have played any role in Geoffrey's elephant studies.
But her instincts told her to abort that line of inquiry.
If that's the case, then I'm sorry. Genuinely, it's my fault. I gave her enough volition to auto-invoke, based on your perceptual stimuli. Basically, if she sensed sufficient attentional focus, she was cued to appear.
Even when I'd told her not to?
She can be contrary like that. But you don't have to put up with her. I'll deactivate your copy. I can do it from here.
Wait, Geoffrey said, letting out a sigh. It's not that I mind having Eunice on tap. I just don't want her springing up like a jack-in-the-box and scaring me half to death. Can you just dial down that volition or whatever it was?
Sunday smiled. I'll assign the necessary changes before they put me under.
Thank you.
You're doing me a big favor with this, although I'm sure you know that.
Just as long as we're clear on one thing, Geoffrey said. I'll keep her until she drives me mad, or you get back from Mars. Whichever comes first.
I'll call you when I wake up. Be prepared for the time lag. We won't be able to ching, so that's going to feel weird. Be like the days of steamships and telegrams.
All else fails, send a postcard.
I will. Meantime, give my regards to Memphis.
We're going out to the elephant tomorrow. We'll be able to have a good old chat.
Wish I could be there with you.
Geoffrey smiled tightly. Some other time.
Yes, she said, nodding. Some other time. Take care, brother.
His response took longer than time lag could explain. Take care, sister. Geoffrey closed the ching, saving her from having to do it.